You are listening to the Anna Brandt podcast for the year 2021. Anna Brandt has been a professional photographer for over 20 years and has taught worldwide in over 32 countries. She took a break from podcasting this past year, but she is back now better than ever, ready to inspire and motivate you. My name is Ava Brandt, and I'm happy to welcome you to my mom's podcast channel. We hope you subscribe and stick around.
Hello, Anna Brandt here. On today's podcast, we are going to talk about developing your ideas without permission. Well, what does that mean exactly? What do you mean permission? I don't ask for permission. Oh, but many of us wait for the acceptance of others when we have ideas or projects that we want to do. We want everyone to accept it. We want everyone to be on board with it. We want to share it. We want to tell everyone. And then if it doesn't succeed, it's like, oh, I gotta go back and tell everyone I failed and it didn't work out. And then eventually you get tired of telling people your ideas and you decide, well, I should just go do my idea anyway. And then if it works, everybody will see it worked rather than going to them and telling them every single idea. Because when you do that, then what happens is if someone doesn't like your idea, they could be like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. And they may put their own negative spin on it in a way that it may deter you from even doing your idea. But what is your idea? Isn't your idea something that you've thought about, right? People don't just wake up in the morning and say, oh, I'm going to just build a house from scratch. They think about, oh, I really want to build my dream house. And then you start doing the research and you start looking for photos of houses and you start making a list of all the things you want in your dream house. And then, you know, you put together this whole plan and then you think, how much money is this house going to cost? And, you know, there are people that talk to other people about building this dream house, but never actually build the dream house. And then there are people that probably say very little, and all of a sudden up pops their dream house. I find that the older I get, the less I feel the need to talk to people. You know, when you're younger, you just kind of spit everything out, right? When I was younger, I would just talk and talk and talk about this and that and this and that. And, you know, as I get older and my circle of friends got smaller and my need for acceptance and approval wasn't as required, let me say required. I feel like sometimes we require the acceptance or the approval. Does this outfit look okay? Do you like my hair? Am I skinny enough? Do these shoes look okay? Right? We're always trying to get approval from somebody. We always want somebody to say, oh, you look great. Oh, you smell good. Oh, you got this. You can do this. And we need that. We need people that lift us up and rise us up. And I'm not talking about that. We all need our own little, you know, fan club for sure. We want to surround ourselves with people that make us feel great from the inside out. But I'm talking about when you have ideas. Why do some people get things done and others do not? Well, you know the phrase, busy people get things done, right? You know people that just are always busy. I'm probably one of those people if you know me. You probably think Anna is always busy. She doesn't stop. She's always doing something. I hear this like almost every day. And I do because I love it. Because one idea spawns the next idea. I was talking to my son a week ago and we were talking about I don't even know what. But by the end of the conversation, he's like, Mom, I literally have just thought up like three new businesses. And I'm like, welcome to my world. I own hundreds of domains. And the minute I get an idea, I'll just buy the domain. I don't talk to people about buying the domain. I don't tell people, this is my idea. Let me think about it. And I just buy the domain. And, you know, today I was listening to Marie Forleo and I was listening to her talk and she was saying she had so many ideas and she owns hundreds of domains to just every time she has an idea, she gets a domain. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm exactly the same way. And I thought I was crazy thinking that I own so many domains and I have all these ideas. And so listening to Marie Forleo say, oh, I own so many domains and I have so many ideas and I want to do so many things, I completely identified with that. I was like, yeah, I'm right there with you. I want to do everything and I want to do it now. And I don't really want to talk about it with anyone. I want to just do it. And then there are the people that don't seem to quite get things done. They need to talk about it with their committee, with their family, with their employees. They need to get everyone's feedback and they need to think about it and mull it over. And then by the time they're done doing all of that, do they actually get it done? Well, some do and some don't. You know, I've been mentoring and teaching photographers for about 12 years now, and I can spot a photographer who I think is immediately going to take action and another one who I think is going to take quite a few years to actually make the first step. I'll meet a photographer one minute and she'll say she has a day job and she's working photography part-time and she thinks she's going to quit her day job, but she's not quite sure because she really needs it for the money and the benefits. And if you talk to any entrepreneur, they'll tell you that that means she has a safety net. And so when you have a safety net, it's hard to really do anything because you've got the safety net and the security of that job. That job is paying your bills. It's paying your benefits. So why get rid of it and jump into the unknown where you may have to struggle a little bit to make the money or the income? Well, some people thrive on that. Some people say, well, it's a challenge to force me to market and motivate myself so I can build the business that will sustain the life that I've lived and I won't need that other income, that other 9-to-5 job. Why do some people do that in a week and other people take years? I don't really know the answer. I think a lot of it has to do with who we are, how we were raised, maybe our birth time and date in the calendar. You know, I could say, oh, I'm a Virgo, I'm a go-getter, I get things done, but I could meet a different Virgo who could say completely the opposite. So I don't really know what the answer is as to why some people get things done and why some people don't. I can tell you that I'm one of those people that if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. And if someone says, well, I don't think that's going to work, or I don't think that's a good idea, I have about 3 seconds to decide if I'm going to listen to them or not. You know, in my family with the children, we're very careful about putting out any negative energy. And I've had to learn, you know, to curb my tongue many times over the years when my kids want to do something, rather than jump in and go, I don't think that's a good idea. Oh, I think that's going to cost too much. It's not a matter of just saying, yes, go for it. It's a matter of maybe not saying anything at all and maybe letting them try it out and seeing if it's going to work. And sometimes things have worked out and sometimes they've come back to me and go, Mom, that probably wasn't such a good idea. And, you know, in my mind, I think maybe it probably wasn't, but I hold back and maybe I say it, maybe I don't. Depends on kind of the mood and feel of the environment and whether I think that they're receptive to hearing it. I certainly don't want to be one of those people that say, I told you so. You know, those people, right, that are always so quick to judge you and always so quick to say, I told you so, and always so quick to be negative. You got to shut that out, because if you listen to that, you're never going to get anywhere. And so if you have people in your life that are into the negatives, the naysayers, you know who they are, the ones that could be your own family members, the ones that you bring an idea to the table and they slam it down in 3 seconds. They tell you everything that could possibly go wrong. And if you talk to that other person will be defensive. They'll say, well, I'm just trying to protect them. I'm just trying to make sure that they don't fail or waste money, or, you know, I just want to let them know that maybe this idea is not going to be so good. But what if it is? What if it is going to be so good? You don't know what the outcome is going to be. Maybe the last 12 ideas they had failed, but how do you know that this isn't going to be the successful one? And so, you know, it can go on both sides. For me personally, if I want to get things done, I don't need permission for anybody. And I think part of that comes with age. I think that the older I get, the more I realize that I can really do anything I really want to do. If I really want to do it, I can sit down and be determined and motivated and figure out the finances and the time, and I can get it done. And if I don't, I may talk to those naysayers and let them just talk me out of it. You ever do that? You ever have a situation or an idea and you're not quite sure you want to do it? So you purposely talk to someone that you know is going to shut it down. And then it justifies yourself. You're like, yeah, I knew that wasn't a good idea. I knew I didn't really want to do that. So you let them talk you right out of it. Sometimes that may work to your benefit. And then other times you might be, why did I let that person do that? You know, it's like going to the gym. You don't really feel like going to the gym. You don't really feel like working out. You don't really want to take that Pilates class. So you talk to someone else that'll go, yeah, I was going to go to the gym, but I didn't go to either. Oh, what's one day? And, you know, your next thing you know, it's one day, goes 2 days, goes 3 days, and then you cancel your gym membership. Or do you surround yourself with the people that go, yeah, you know, I didn't feel like it either, but man, once I had that workout, I felt so good and I was energized for the rest of the day and I just felt amazing. So just get out there and do it, because you're going to feel great in an hour. It's going to suck getting there, but it's going to feel great in an hour. And you do it and you go, yeah, gosh. And then you call up that person and be like, gosh, thank you so much. You know, I worked out, I did great. It's got to be the same thing with your ideas. You don't need permission. And you've got to tell yourself you're going to make a decision every single day. And I mean, it's a daily thing because ideas are going to pop in your head every single day, unless you're sleeping. They just do. If you're creative, if you're listening to my podcast, you're probably a creative. And when I say creative, it doesn't have to be photography. You could be a painter. I feel like we're all creatives, quite honestly, but maybe you're living a creative life or you desire to live a creative life. And so if you're somebody in that position, that means you've got ideas. It could be an idea to organize your pantry or to fold your clothes a little bit better or to upgrade your computer, or it could be an idea that's going to come 20 years from now or 10 years from now, or it could be something on your bucket list about traveling to Africa or who knows. My advice, keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. Write it down. Get a dream journal, get a notebook. I've got like 4 notebooks going on at any given time and notes on my phone. And I'm like the queen of writing anything down. Mull it over, look at it, walk away, read it again. And then if you've got a trusty source or two, talk to them about it and go, here's my thought. Because it is good to bounce ideas off of people. Because then the other person can go, that's an idea. And what about if you did it this way? And you think, I didn't think of it that way. I get that all the time by the people that I work with and the people that I live with. It'll be, I don't think my ideas are always amazing. In fact, I've got a lot of ideas that never work out. And sometimes my ideas are a little bit too, not impossible, but ridiculous. I don't even know what the word is. And so sometimes I'll mention it to someone and I'll go, that's a good idea. But what if maybe we just did this? It's kind of like traveling. In my mind, I'll be like, I can do 3 or 4 countries. No problem. I can do the Philippines and Singapore and run over to Indonesia. And I could travel and teach and I can do all that. And no one's telling me no, so I do it. And then by the 2nd or 3rd country in, whoever I'm with, usually it's Alex, he'll go, well, maybe we shouldn't do 3 or 4 countries. Maybe we should just try to keep it at 2 or 3. Doesn't mean you can't do 3 or 4. You could probably do 5. But maybe you'd be a little less stressed. The luggage would be a little bit less if we maybe try to dial it down to 2 or 3 countries. And then I have to think it to myself as I'm paying extra luggage, as I'm sweating through the airport, as I'm trying to make the trains and the planes and schedule the babies. Maybe he has a good thought or two. Maybe I should just keep it down in 2 countries. You know, so you have to say to yourself, okay, gosh, I really want to build a studio in my home on the 2nd floor, but I don't have a 2nd floor. So that means I've got to build the 2nd floor. That's going to cost $50,000 to $75,000. And then I have to put a studio up there. And then I realize people have to walk up the stairs. Is that a good idea? Or do I put it in my basement? Do I refinish the basement? There are things and ideas that you come across that you do need to talk about with people. Not that you necessarily need permission, but you probably should share it with a person or two just to see if maybe you missed something. Maybe you're crazy. Maybe you're over budget. Maybe you're under budget. But when I'm telling you all this, be careful of who you listen to and make sure that it's people that have your best interest in mind and truly care for you in a way that they want you to have the best life. And if you surround yourself by people like that, then the decisions that you make don't require permission and not even require validation, but are more acceptable from other people, and that they're there championing you, saying, yeah, Anna, you did it. That was a really good idea. We did it. And it could go into so many different areas of your life. So this podcast is for the person that's hesitant right now. You've got some projects, you've got some things written down in your notebook, and you're not quite sure if they're going to work out. You're not even quite sure if you can do them. But maybe deep down, you're pretty sure you are. And maybe the people around you aren't being your champions. Maybe they're not giving you the permission that you feel that you need. You don't need permission. You really don't. And I'll tell you that when I was taking photography courses, so I was an amateur photographer for 10 years. 10 years, I was Anna with a camera. Didn't take a dollar for my photography. Shot everything from beaches to flowers to my nieces to my nephews. I just loved photography. Did not take 1 cent. And I took course after course after course after course, photography course that was. And I remember when I relocated from New York to California, And I was riding horses at the time. I was living in Huntington Beach and I was doing several things. I became a volunteer at the Equestrian Huntington, Golden West Equestrian Therapy Center for teaching children who are disabled how to ride horses. Many of these children were in wheelchairs or were on the spectrum, and their therapy was to ride horses. So I did that while I rode horses as well. It was my training center. And then I enrolled in Golden West College and took some local photography courses. There was one particular course. It's the last true photography course I had ever taken. Well, I did take a lighting intensive course through the Fine Arts Center, but this was like meaning on an actual campus. And I'm taking, I don't even remember the name of this course. I'm sure I could dig back in storage and look in my notes and negatives and things like that. But I do know that at 29 years of age, most people were like 10 years younger than me. And while I do look younger than my age, I definitely did not look 18 anymore. And I had this professor, and I can't say he was the kindest professor. And I remember my portfolio that I was submitting at the end of the semester was going to be a hand-colored portfolio. Now, the purpose of your portfolio, it had to have 2 portrait, 2 still life, 2 landscape, and I think maybe 2 architecture. There was one more subject. I can't really remember what it was. And so my theme was going to be hand-colored black and white photographs. That meant that when I went in the darkroom to develop the print, the contrast had to be lighter so that I could color with oils, which meant that my blacks couldn't be too black and my grays couldn't be too gray because I needed it to accept the color of the oil that I was going to apply afterwards. Well, I would come out of the darkroom and he would be like, Anna, where your blacks aren't black, your grays aren't gray. And he would get on my case and I would say, well, Professor so-and-so, remember, I'm going to hand color this portfolio. And you go, oh, yeah. So I wasn't very fond of him. And every week I grew less and less fond of him. And he was very, very hard on me. And a few people would say to me, why are you even taking this class? Like, you have your own darkroom. I had my own darkroom in the house and I had my own enlarger and I could develop my own film. And why did I feel that I needed to take this class? I have no idea really why, but I will tell you what happened. At the end of the semester, I handed in my portfolio and I really was kind of, I knew in my mind it was probably the last class I was ever going to take. And I was just kind of done with this guy. He took one look at my portfolio and he closed it and he looked at me and I'll never forget what he said. I've forgotten his name, but I'll never forget what he said. He said, if you're looking for someone to give you permission to go do what you were born to do, this is it. Go do it. And I'll never forget that. And at the time, I didn't even quite know exactly what he meant. But I remember shortly after I quit my day job and I became a professional photographer and I never looked back and I never asked permission for anything. And he knew that I didn't need to be there. He knew that I didn't need his instruction. And I'm sure he was probably extra hard on me for that reason. And I guess in some ways, I was looking for permission. I was looking for someone to say, you're talented, you can be a photographer, you can quit your job, and you could go do it. Did anyone say that to me? No. But somehow along the line, he gave that to me and I never looked back. And so I'm here to tell you, whoever's listening, if you need permission, this is your permission. Go do it. You really don't need permission. That's the whole topic of this podcast. You really don't. But sometimes we need other people to tell us, go do it. You don't need permission. And I don't know what it is in your life that you're feeling is holding you back from doing whatever it is you're supposed to be doing. Write it down, sit on it, look at it, walk away, write it again. If you really need to talk to someone, especially if what you're going to do impacts that person, especially if you know it's someone you're in a relationship with, then yeah, talk to them. Absolutely. Or it's your boss or you know you live in a rented building and you want to rip a floor apart, you should probably get permission for that. I'm not just saying go out and raise hell and do whatever the hell you want to do, but I am saying that at the end of the day, in the quiet of the night, if you really want to go do something, just go do it. I'm Anna Brandt. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I'll see you next time.
Did you like this podcast? We would love it if you gave my mom a kind review and reach out to her. To learn more about Anna, visit annabrandt.com. You can find out about her education opportunities at annabrandteducation.com.